Chris will sing some that most wonderful song, Jai Rana Madhava. Everyone can come up and fill this area, and we don't have to be afraid of getting contaminated. We're in the Association of Devotees. As far as possible, everyone come up in here. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giribhari Dhari. Balaba Giri Bharadhari Yashoda Nandana Jaja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Chira Vanachari Jamuna Chira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Janna Ballabha Giri Bharadhari Gopi Janna Ballabha Giri Bharadhari Yashoda Nandana Jaja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Jaja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Thera Vanachari Jamunatira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Bihari Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Ram Hare, Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare, Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare, Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare.
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Padamaham Zabariva Jakacharja Asta Tarasadishi Shimad is Divine Grace Shile Si Bhakti Vedandati Dandi Goshami Maharaj Hovaraki Jai. Iskan Founder Vacharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Patita Pavana Savior the Fallen Soul Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupan Padamaham Zipiribhajakacharja Asta Tarasadashi Shiman His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vinda Ki Jai Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sukho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Navadip Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Iskan Helsinki Ki Jai Gangamai Ki Jai Jamanamai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai Gaura Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to the divine grace. Srila Prabhupada. Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve. Gaudavani Pacharine Nivisheshu Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tanine.
This is one very enlivened bunch here. Very nice.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, we are all very much blessed by the mercy of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. We are very much blessed. Were it not for His mercy, where would we be right now? I shudder to think where I would be were it not for the mercy of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. We have gotten this ticket back to the spiritual world, and the airplane is so nice. Even before you arrive in the spiritual world, the airplane itself is so nice. It's as good as being back home. When we have a kirtan like this, it's as good as being back to home, back to Godhead. It's so sweet. So ecstatic to be here with all these happy chanters and dancers. So, tonight we will consult the greatest book in the universe, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because who are we? We cannot speculate something transcendental. Our minds are stuck in the muck, isn't it? Our minds are stuck in the muck of material existence. So we need help. We're drowning in the ocean of birth and death. We need help. Help us, Krishna. Help. We need help. So Krishna is giving us this help. He's giving us Bhagavad Gita delivered as it is, not one of these rascal so-called Bhagavad Gitas. And one time I was preaching to one university professor, and he had so many Bhagavad Gitas on his shelf. He was a religion professor. So I said, you know, this Bhagavad Gita as it is, it's different from the other editions of Bhagavad Gita. He said, oh, really? He was skeptical. I said, yes, you just show me one, take one Gita off your shelf. So I turned to chapter 9, text 34. You know that verse, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Majaji Mang Namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. So, the verse translated almost the same when I read the version of the other edition. It went like this, engage your mind always in thinking of me, offer obeisances and worship me, being completely absorbed in me, certainly you will become me. Pretty good deal. I can become Krishna, you know, just bow down, go to the temple, bow down, you know, and I can just merge into the deity, you know. It's not that kind of an idea, you know. So you can see there's a big difference between Bhagavad Gita as it is, these other editions of Bhagavad Gita. And this is why, just like I have my e-course now, I get 7,000 people. That's how I ended up getting here. Some of my students are in this area. Jana is here, and also nearby in Latvia is Maya. So I have come here so I could directly give them some instructions on how to advance in spiritual life. But so many people are asking me, cannot I read another edition of Bhagavad Gita? And I say no, because the other editions, they will not give you the proper understanding. Prabhupada was asked by that lady, one lady in America, Swamiji, what edition would you recommend? You see, you could not recommend in good conscience any other edition. So he had to write Bhagavad Gita as it is. He had actually written in India previously, but there was some manuscript was stolen. So he had rewrote it again. So he'd already written it once. He was able to write it very fast because he had written it once before. So tonight we will read a very nice verse. Actually, we are on a little mini lecture series now on Bhagavad Gita. There are the 10 key verses. And last night we read 10:8, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Mathak Sarvam Pravartate. So tonight we will read the next in line, which would be 10:9.
machchita mangata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantashchamam nityam tashyante chavramante cha.
The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So sometimes, when we're beginning our devotional service, we don't know how to stay absorbed in devotional service. Sometimes we become happy and sometimes we become morose, because we don't know the art of how to steadily engage in devotional service, you see. So this verse is the key of how we can always be plugged into the nectar, always tasting the sweetest transcendental bliss. It is called Krishna Katha. I remember when I was a young brahmachari, I was traveling on the, they call it the roadshow with Vishnu Jan Maharaj. And I had read this verse, and this is very nice. So I made one friend amongst our party. His name was Baba Bhuti Prabhu. He has since departed from this world. But so he and I became Krishna Katha buddies. We would, whenever we had, at Pashadam time, whenever we had, there was nothing doing, we would just sit and we would talk what we were reading in Prabhupada's books. We would just share Krishna Katha back and forth with each other. So everyone needs a Krishna Katha buddy, you see, someone that you can share your realizations with. You can hear their realizations, you see. These are very important things. We cannot remain impersonal like turtles inside our shells. In the company of devotees, like a wallflower. You know what wallflower is? And they have that same, wallflower means there's a party, everybody's having a great time, but one person is kind of merging into the wall. They don't know how to associate. So in Krishna consciousness, this is how we associate, you see. We hear and chant about Krishna. We read the books. And then we share our realizations with others. And if we don't have any realizations, then we have the other. What is your realization? You see? And we want to hear from the other devotee. What is your realization? And then we inquire, how can I become a better devotee? Or they may inquire from us, how I can become a better devotee. So this is very important that we learn this art of how to reciprocate with each other on this basis of loving exchange. Rupa Goswami explains in the Upadeshamrita that there are six items of loving exchange amongst the devotees. One is you give a gift to the devotees. And the other is you receive a gift from the devotees. You have this exchange of gifts. Another is you serve prasadam to the devotees. And you accept prasadam, the devotees serve to you. Another is to reveal your heart to the devotees. Open your mind, reveal your confidential thoughts to the appropriate devotees. And then you also open your ears and heart when other devotees reveal themselves confidentially to you as well. So these are the six loving exchanges. And if we can learn how to engage in these loving exchanges with each other, then we will find that the feelings of love become very, very sweet. Because, let's face it, everybody wants to be loved. But in this material world, there is no such thing as pure love. Because everybody's love is simply superficial. I'll scratch your back if you'll scratch my back, you see. We try to give love in this material world, but we are cheated again and again and again. We're not satisfied when we give our love in this material world. So we have to learn how to have loving exchange in the society of devotees. Because everything is centered on Krishna, you see. Because everything is centered on Krishna, then we can actually become happy and satisfied. For a neophyte devotee, sometimes there is a tendency to be afraid to open up because we've been so hurt in the material world in so many ways. But as we advance in Krishna consciousness, we find that we become more confident to engage in loving exchange. And so the older devotees, who already are completely confident in this wonderful process of having loving exchange amongst the Vaishnavas. They should always be very kind upon the younger devotees who are still learning how to come out of their shells. They should be very kind-hearted upon the younger devotees. So the younger devotees can also learn how to have this wonderful thing called loving exchange, priti lakshanam, you see. This priti lakshanam amongst the devotees, because this is the real essence of Krishna consciousness. I remember when I was a new devotee, I was always grabbing nectar wherever I could find it. If there was someone who had a Prabhupada letter, we had no copy machine handy, so we would just, by hand, if someone had a letter from Prabhupada, we would just copy it by hand in our notebook. So I have all these notebooks when I was a young brahmachari, with all the nectar I was just gathering from here and there and from everywhere. And I remember one, I think it must have been a letter that Prabhupada had written, but he talked about the six items of surrender. There's a list in the Nectar Devotion. But this list was different than the ones we had seen in the books. In this list of the six items of surrender, he mentioned one item which I've only seen in that one place. And he said to become a member of a spiritual family. You see, that's one of the six items of surrendering to Krishna in this list. And I've never forgotten that, because that's a very special and wonderful thing, because, you know, we all need family. But the trouble is, our family relationship in the material world, it just drags us down, you see, because our family members might be eating meat, they might, you know, so many things, depending on what family we came from. Or they may not, you know, they may not accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so many things. We all need family. We need a place where we can plug in, feel at home, and we can have a loving exchange. So, that family has to be here. This has to be our family. You see, we are the family members. We have to learn how to create that atmosphere of family amongst ourselves so wonderfully that any new person comes in, they can also be drawn into that wonderful family atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. This is how our movement will actually be successful in inundating the whole world, you see. What did Prabhupada say? Actually, an astrologer, Prabhupada didn't directly say it, he agreed with it. One astrologer in India, he saw a picture of Prabhupada, and he said, "This man has built a house in which the whole world can live peacefully." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, that is my mission." And he was told about that. So Prabhupada's mission is to build a house in which everyone can come in and we can all be one big family, you see. This is Prabhupada's mission. So we have to learn how to enter into that spiritual family. That is our contribution, first of all, to ourself, to get ourselves out of this suffering condition in the material world. And it's also our contribution to help create that family atmosphere in which the whole world can join the family, you see. So this is this particular verse here is very appropriate for creating that wonderful family atmosphere. We can sing and dance together. We can talk about Krishna together. We can enlighten one another. That's a very amazing thing, because usually we think, well, I can hear my guru speak and that will enlighten me. You see, one will think like that. But here it is saying, we enlighten one another. That you can enlighten me, I can enlighten you. It's something we can all do for each other, you see. You can enlighten him, he can enlighten you. Isn't that amazing? That you can enlighten him. You can enlighten him, you see. That's what Krishna is saying. Enlightening one another. The little boy can enlighten the parents by talking about Krishna, you see. Everyone can become like a lighthouse in the dark night of Kali. Every devotee is meant to be a walking, talking lighthouse. Just beaming the light of Krishna. And how does that light come out? It comes out through Krishna Katha, by vibrating the topics of Krishna on the lips. It creates that wonderful atmosphere. So this is, and then what does he say? Ramanti. Anyone who studied Sanskrit knows this is the plural form. They enjoy. You see? They enjoy. It's like Rama, supreme enjoyer. So Rama, Ramati, he enjoys. Ramanti is the plural form. They enjoy. They enjoy like anything. And we see that the we can study the Chaitanya Lila, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, and we can see how much ecstasy they were enjoying in this this pastimes. That, just like that Panihati festival, you see. That is an incredible pastime. They were having so much fun. It was just fun. They were having a picnic on the bank of the sacred river Ganges. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he was a rich boy. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, as they say. He's a rich boy, rich man's son. Filthy rich, actually. So he was engaged in putting on this big festival, his wealth, and he was very happy, actually. And they put on this huge chip rice festival, you see. They were soaking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pots of chip rice and yogurt. They were soaking the chip rice. And also with milk they were soaking. They went, he was given this duty that you organize this big picnic, this big feast. Lord Nityananda ordered him, you do this. So he was, he made this huge feast. They went all to every village in the whole area. They were buying every single stock, all the milk, all the yogurt, all the chip rice. They were just buying, completely cleaning out all the stocks in that whole area. Everything finished. And then after cleaning out all the stock, they invited all the merchants. You also come to the festival. So it was a big, big festival. And then to make it even more fun, Lord Chaitanya was not personally there. But Lord Chaitanya came, but he came invisibly. So only a few of the devotees could see him. And there was all these pastimes with Lord Chaitanya feeding, putting food in his mouth and all these things happening. And people couldn't understand what's going on here. You know, who's, what's this going on? Lord Nityananda is putting food in. I mean, they couldn't understand. It was like they were having, Lord Chaitanya was having great fun, having all these pastimes invisible to almost everyone there and only visible to a few of them. So this was just a pleasure pastime, you see, a big picnic on the bank of the Ganges. So we have to learn in how to have these festive picnics. That's what we have to learn, and that's called love feast, you see. How to have a joyous thing where everyone just wanting to love the other devotees, give nice service, talk about Krishna, sing and dance. This is so important. We have to learn how to celebrate Krishna consciousness, all centered on the pastime of Krishna. And then we become very happy, we become very jolly. And I know my personal experience when I go to a festive gathering of the devotees. I just go away from there. I can't stop thinking about it. And if there's some little prasadam I brought home from that festival, I just keep eating it so I can still feel like I'm at the festival, you see. We pack some little thing to take home, and then again, the next day, and I still feel I'm at the festival just by having that little morsel that came from the festival, you see. So these festivals are very important, this festive atmosphere where everyone's just happy and jolly. I remember the devotee who convinced me to join this movement, His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj. He was saying, there must always be this festive atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And he would do that. I remember we were a small group of brahmachari and one householder couple in Austin. And so he took us, he was very expert at making festive arrangements. Actually, he had gone to open another center in San Antonio, Texas. But you know these city buses that drive around Helsinki, you see, where the door goes, psh, right? Of course, it was an older model in those days. This is back in the early 70s. It was something left over from the 60s, I think. But he bought one of these old buses where the door goes, psh. And he took all the seats out, and he had all these little instruments, all different kinds of percussion instruments, you know. There's the traditional Indian ones and also all kinds of things. And he'd just invite people on the bus, and everybody would sit around playing all these little types of instruments, and just it was a rolling festival. So anyway, he rolled with his rolling festival up to Austin, and he had us get on the bus, and he took us to Dallas. And in his festive mood, he said, all of you now, you clean the Dallas temple. We were guests visiting the Dallas temple. And he said, okay, now he engaged all of us. You clean the Dallas temple. So it was just, here we are visiting. All these visiting devotees coming now. We're going to clean your temple for you. And this created the most wonderful festive atmosphere of loving exchange, you see. So this is the key, to be in this mood of giving service, giving service, giving service, giving service. And whatever service is offered, we very joyfully and happily accept that, you see, as a reciprocation. So this is the way to create a wonderful Vaikuntha atmosphere where we're always just swimming in ecstasy 24 hours a day, just feeling so happy, you see, just intoxicated with the bliss of loving exchange with the devotees. And then when somebody walks into this atmosphere, they go, wow, I've never seen anything like this. How can I join? Where do I sign up? You see? This is the secret. Prabhupada wants us to inundate the entire world with an ocean, with a tidal wave of love of Krishna. He wants everyone to become drowned in an ocean of love of Godhead. So wherever devotees are there, it should just be like a huge tidal wave of Krishna prema emanating from that gathering, you see. It should be like that. So we just have to open up our hearts. We just have to say the heck with the lust, anger, and greed. The heck with politics and, you know, fault finding and all that crud. The heck with it. Let's just let the love of Krishna and the love of Krishna's devotees flow freely, you see. If we do that, the whole world will come running. Everyone will come. Your yoga center won't be able to buy the whole block. You won't be able to accommodate. This will just be an outdated little tiny space here. Thousands of students wanting to come and learn the secrets of perfecting the yoga process. This is a very powerful technique. I know we've seen our Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, older godbrother. He was a very brilliant strategist for preaching. He was given the assignment to preach in China. So, it was a little difficult. Hong Kong was the edge of China. And they're very atheistic over there. I mean, believing in God, that's like, what's God? I mean, just like out of the... So they started teaching Hatha Yoga. And they had a whole scientific system of signing up all these Hatha Yoga students, and then gradually, a little here, a little there, you make them God conscious. You sneak it in. You know, there's the Hatha Yoga part of the class. Now there's the Mantra Yoga part of the class. Okay, this is part of the yoga system. Now it's time for the Mantra Yoga, you see. And lo and behold, he's making all these Chinese atheists into devotees of the Lord. And same thing going on in Taiwan, you see. And I remember our Romapad Swami, he was writing. He was there with the last time that Tamal Krishna Goswami, I think it was 2 years ago, he was there in Mayapur, and all these Taiwanese devotees had come. A huge number of Taiwanese devotees had come to the Mayapur festival, and they were just so sweet in their loving exchange. And it was all because they had been caught up in this tidal wave of Lord Chaitanya's mercy by the expert preaching of Tamal Krishna Goswami. So this is a very good strategy of attracting people who are not spiritually inclined, think that I am my body and I want to have I want a better body. So I'm going to do yoga. You see? So you just have to say, this is very good. Now we will teach you how to achieve the perfection of yoga practice. So here's now your Hatha Yoga. Now at the end we will go to teach you on a little higher level, this Mantra Yoga, to make the Hatha Yoga perfect. Prabhupada says that any yoga system, to achieve perfection in that yoga, it must be overcoated with bhakti. So any system, whether it's jnana yoga, karma yoga, any system, it becomes perfect when it is overcoated with bhakti. So we have to find the way. Of course, the prasadam is the easy way. If they get some prasad, yoga food. They get the yoga food, then the seed of God is planted there, you see. So it is a very nice system here. We will read, read from the purport. Pure devotees, whose characteristics are mentioned here, engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing him with other devotees. Some interesting words here. How do you like this word, submerged in Krishna? Doesn't that implies that Krishna is like a body of water in one sense. You see? You can just dive into Krishna. So it's interesting simile here. It's being submerged. Baba didn't say submerged in Krishna consciousness. He says submerged in Krishna. Now it's not in a Mayavadi sense of merging into Krishna, obviously. But submerged in Krishna means Krishna consciousness. But to say it in this way, Krishna, means that Krishna and Krishna consciousness are non-different. When you are Krishna conscious, you are directly in contact with Krishna. That's the nice thing about it, you see. It's not that, well, I'll practice Krishna consciousness now so that later on when I go back to Godhead, I can be with Krishna. If you absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness now, then you are right now directly submerged in Krishna. You are directly in contact with Krishna, right here, right now. So wouldn't that be really great, you know, if we could just meet Krishna right now? He just walked in the door and we could offer our obeisances and he came and sat down here and said, you know, I'm so happy that you're chanting my names. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If we could directly see Krishna. We can, actually, but we have to become pure. Prabhupada encouraged me. In one letter, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. I really felt blessed by that instruction. Because that is possible. Another letter he wrote me, because I used to write Prabhupada all these questions. In fact, one letter I wrote so many questions, he had somebody else answer it. As a young brahmachari, you know, I want to know about this and that. A big long list of questions, you know. So Satsarup Maharaj answered that one very nicely, about six typewritten pages, single space, to answer all my questions. my next letters to Prabhupada didn't have so many questions. I would just ask two or three. But finally, in one letter, he said, because he understood I had a lot of questions, and he wanted to help me, you know, to get my answers. But he told me very nicely, he said, you simply engage yourself without 24 hours a day in Krishna's service, you know, fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and Krishna will personally come and answer all of your questions. I don't think I'm purely absorbed yet because it hasn't happened yet. But I'm just praying for that day when Krishna will come and personally say, Sankarshan Das, this is the answer. But until that time, I hear Krishna through reading Prabhupada's books. I hear Krishna by talking to you all, you see, hearing your realizations. I hear Krishna through you, you see. I hear by rehearing Prabhupada's tapes, in so many different ways. But I'm just waiting for that day when Krishna will come personally, because it's, quite frankly, I think we can all agree, it's bewildering sometimes to practice Krishna consciousness because we have been caught up in the cycle of birth and death for, I mean, how many lifetimes? Is there any way of counting how many lifetimes? Have you ever tried to count how many lifetimes you've been in this material world before this birth? I mean, it's inconceivable, you know, how long we've been suffering and these minds dragging us through so many anxieties, material attachment, material frustration, isn't it? pretty bad. But if we can simply, seriously take up Krishna consciousness now, then in this one lifetime we can just finish everything. Just completely finish, all anxieties finished, be totally happy. Just look at our Sridhar Maharaj. I was just on the phone just now, a couple of hours ago, with our Tathavada Prabhu. I think he called from India. He wanted to associate with me somehow or other. I don't know, but he wanted to associate with me. So he was saying that it'd be very nice to glorify our Sridhar Maharaj. I had a lot of association with him. He was actually such a great devotee of the Lord. This was a person I never saw morose in any time, any place, in any circumstance. Even when he was dying, you see, he was never morose. Actually, I have on my desktop of my laptop computer, it's just a few days before he passed away from his body, he's lying there in his deathbed with a big smile going like that. I just keep looking at that picture. And how can you feel morose, you see? We may feel morose about my situation. I got this problem, I got that problem. Here's somebody dying from liver cancer. Who of us can say that our situation is that difficult right now? Who of us can say that I have liver cancer, I'm going to die in a week. Who can say that we have a situation that disturbing to the mind? None of us can say we have a situation that disturbing. So we can take example from Sridhar Swami. So wonderful. One of the nicest things I was telling Tathavada Prabhu, one of the nicest things, this was the 1996 Ratha Yatra, the Prabhupada Centennial Ratha Yatra down Fifth Avenue in New York City. And you know, I wasn't one of his close friends. I mean, we had some association. Sometimes I would communicate with him, but you know, we never had that much association. But here I am just walking down Fifth Avenue in the middle of the Ratha Yatra, you know, going down Fifth Avenue. The police are over here blocking off the streets. There's thousands of devotees. All of a sudden, Sridhar Maharaj comes up. He hugs me and spins me around like a dancing couple, you know. I just, wow, you know. I couldn't believe it. No, I've never been hugged like that in my whole life, and I probably never will be again. I mean, Sridhar Maharaj was very unique. I mean, he just swept me off my feet. I just couldn't believe it. Here I am being twirled around in the middle of Fifth Avenue, in the middle of a Ratha Yatra festival by this big jolly sannyasi, you know. So this was his character. He was always just giving joy to the devotees. You see, always in the mood of service. Always just trying to enliven the devotees. And because he was always thinking how to make all the other devotees happy, he never had any anxiety, even though he was dying of terminal cancer, you see. He was blessing all of us from his deathbed, showing I am blissful, and you can also be blissful in all circumstances. And, he was such a wit, I remember. He said that everyone else went to India fat and came back skinny. He said, I went to India skinny and came back fat. He was always a wit, poetic wit. And he said, it's so easy to take it on, so easy to put it on and so hard to take it off. He was trying to lose weight, but finally he did at the end when his body became sick. We would have preferred him to remain big and plump and be still here with us, but... Yeah, in so many ways, he was. He had wonderful association with Prabhupada. He was. Sometimes he was the temple president in Calcutta in the early days, and generally the devotees, they would like to sit around and just soak up the nectar of being with Prabhupada. And certainly, we would all, if Prabhupada was here in Helsinki right now, we would want to do the same thing. But he was in the mood of, well, Prabhupada wants us to make more life members. So others would be sitting around and he would go out and do the preaching, you see. That sort of sacrifice makes one very, very dear to the spiritual master, you see. Because to be with the spiritual master, that's a very enlivening thing. But to go out and have to deal with the karmis, to try to engage him in Krishna's service, that's not, you can say that's an austerity, you see. But he was going out because he knew Prabhupada wanted that more life members should be made. While other devotees are sitting there drinking the nectar, he's out there knocking on doors and making life members, you see. So this was a wonderful quality. Of course, sometimes he kicked himself for that also, because he was in L.A., he was leading up a book distribution party in California. And he, in those days, nobody memorized verses. Now everybody, now all the preachers come through and they quote shlokas, you know, machchitama gita prana. In the early days of ISKCON, nobody memorized verses. The only person who recited verses was Prabhupada. No one got the idea that, you know, we can also learn verses and recite them. But he engaged all of his brahmacharis. You know that one verse, tvanak sandarshita dhatra dushtaram nishtityushatam. You know that verse. That we think we have met your goodness by the will of providence. And thus we accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali. It's a verse that one can recite to one's guru, you see. So he trained up all the brahmacharis. His whole party came in, and in unison they all chanted it for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was very happy. Then Prabhupada said, would you like to take lunch with me? Can you imagine, what an opportunity to take lunch with Prabhupada? He said, oh no, Prabhupada, we want to go out and distribute your books. And then he, later on, he for the rest of his life, he kicked himself for that stupid mistake, you know, because they could have taken lunch and then gone out on book distribution. But no, Prabhupada, we'll go out and just distribute your books. So he was a very great saint, Sridhar Swami. And he would always encourage. I remember after being a brahmachari for many years, I took this nice devotee here, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, actually Tamal Krishna Maharaj arranged this marriage. And so I had to find some way to, as a householder, to make some money. So I went to some computer school, learned some computer programming. And when Sridhar Swami heard I was a computer programmer, he got excited. What a great thing. Computer programmer. Sankarshan Das, you're a computer programmer. He got very excited and happy, enlivened, to encourage me, you see. So there was this quality of his, he could encourage everyone. Now, one of my e-students, his name is Madan Rao. He's a boy, somewhat handicapped boy in Bombay. So he gave his memory to me also of Sridhar Swami, because I sent out to all my students some memories of Sridhar Swami. So he also had memories, so he shared some of his memories with me. That Sridhar Maharaj, in the first meeting, him told him that you should chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna because it will free you from all anxiety. And he said, the second time I saw him, all he did was hug me. That's all he did, just hug me. So these are the kinds of devotees that actually that make this movement great. Devotees like Sridhar Swami. So we should all try to become like that in the way that we deal with one another, you see. Always try to give joy and happiness to the other devotees. Because this, if we do that, then we will never feel anxiety at all in our hearts. We'll always be blissful. So this is the real secret of success in Krishna consciousness. Just try to give happiness by lovingly serving the devotees. So we will open it up now if there's any questions. Or any whatever. Yes. If the other devotees don't want to talk about Krishna, that happens sometimes. But sometimes devotees, they're gossiping about this and that, and you bring the topic of Krishna, and they may not really pay attention. So you have to bring the topic in such a nice way. You have to capture their attention. You see? You have to bring Krishna in such a nice way. What you can do is this. What you can do is whatever they're talking about, you enter into the conversation with them. Just come down into their conversation with them and then elevate it to Krishna consciousness. This is an art. You can practice this art. It may take some time. But if a devotee of the Lord, he can take any topic And he can find a way to connect it with Krishna. So whatever they're talking about, you talk about that with them. And then see how you can turn the topic towards Krishna. You see, they're talking about something, you talk about that same thing with them. Become one with them in that conversation, and then you elevate it to Krishna. That's one way you can do it. Instead of saying, oh, this is Maya, you're not talking about Krishna, you see. You could do that. You're in Maya, Prabhu. You're not talking about Krishna. You're talking about, you know, just like in Texas, the football team, the Dallas Cowboys, you know. And what if you walk into the Brahmachari, you know, a Brahmachari walks into the Brahmachari ashram and two Brahmacharis are talking about the Dallas Cowboys, you know. What will you do? You can say, well, oh, you're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Very nice. Do you know, we have to remember, just see how much they like the name Cowboys here in Texas. But the original, who was that original cowboy? You see? You see? So you just have to be very clever, you see? How to, just like if you go home to visit your mother and father, isn't it? They're not going to talk about Krishna. So you enter into their conversation. You find a way to elevate it. So in this way, it always be a transcendental, what is that? Transcendental topic thief. Like Krishna is a butter thief. We can go into some topic and then we and enter, and then we can steal the topic away and bring it to Krishna. You see? So just be like a topic thief. You can enter into any topic and then you steal that away and give to Krishna, bring to Krishna. Is that all right? Yes? Someone's pretending to be a pure devotee? What is it?
She said that she became angry.
What's the question? Did you hear?
Yeah, she said that she was in a situation when she tried to speak to an older devotee about Krishna, and the older devotee said that why are you pretending to be a pure devotee? Just speaking about Krishna.
What you can do, you learn the art of how to become, how to approach devotees in a very humble way. This takes practice, but if you practice, it'll work. You learn how to approach in a very humble way, you see. That you can, you say that, you can say, I am, you are very advanced in Krishna consciousness, and I am a new devotee. Please give me your mercy and tell me about Krishna, because I am just struggling with my mind. So you kindly enlighten me. You were an older devotee. You have so many realizations. You must have, because you're practicing so nicely. So you kindly enlighten me. You see, you just beg for their mercy. You come crawling at their feet, and you just beg for their mercy that they will enlighten you. I'm just a new devotee girl. I just joined the ashram. I don't know so much about Krishna, but you are very advanced. So you kindly enlighten me. You see. That humility is very good. We have to learn that mood of humility. Isn't that what is stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadaharihi. One should chant the holy names with a humble state of mind, thinking oneself to be lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for oneself. You see, in such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. In such a state of mind, one can blissfully engage in Krishna Katha with the devotees 24 hours a day. You see? You just say, I am a new devotee. I'm not very advanced. I'm just struggling with my mind. It keeps tearing me this way and that way. But you are an older, fixed-up devotee. You kindly bless me with your mercy and tell me about Krishna, what you have realized about Krishna. You see? Beg the mercy of the devotees. If you humbly approach, the devotees' tendency to be kind and loving will just come bursting out of their hearts and shower you with mercy.
Approach the senior devotees in a different manner, they know better. So then they're
Yeah, the etiquette is very important. Vishnu Priya Mataji's point is very, very important. There are Vaishnava etiquettes in how we associate with devotees. There's three different levels, you can say. There are devotees who are more advanced than ourselves. You see, if someone is more advanced than us, then we should welcome their association. We should offer ourselves to serve them, and we should beg their mercy to please elevate us. If someone is on an equal level, someone is, you know, we both join the movement around the same time, we have equal realization, then you become very friends, intimate friends with those. If someone is new, is not as advanced as you, they don't know anything at all about Krishna, some new person, then you be very kind upon them, you preach to them. So if we follow these etiquettes, so those who are on a higher level, we serve them, we learn from them, we're very eager to hear and learn from them. You see, those who are more advanced. On the same level, we become friends. Less advanced, we give our kindness to them. And if you don't know, if you can't tell the difference, then just assume that you're in the lowest position and you'll be safe. You see? Just assume that everybody is higher than you. And what did Prabhupada tell us to call each other? Prabhu. What does Prabhu mean? Prabhupada said it means higher than me. The etiquette is we treat all the other devotees that they are higher than me. Always thinking, you are higher than me. You are higher than me. You see? Always in that mood. We approach the other devotee, you are higher than me. And even Prabhupada said in Vrindavan, he said the spiritual master considers himself, he considers his disciples to be his spiritual masters. You see? He considers his disciples to be his spiritual masters. Because he has to serve them by guiding them how to go back to Krishna. So if even the spiritual master considers everyone else to be his master, what should we think? If Prabhupada looked at all of us, his followers, practically just off the streets, that these are my masters, he actually felt that way. He genuinely felt that way towards us. He told us in Vrindavan. It was amazing. It's on the Nectar Devotion series. You can hear it yourself on the tapes. So if Prabhupada himself felt that we were his masters, how we should feel about all the other devotees. We should feel that every devotee is my Prabhu, my master. You see? And put ourselves humble, service mood in relation to them. Questions more? Is what I'm saying all right? Am I speaking correctly according to our Vaishnava Siddhanta? See, I'm just a servant. I'm making sure that I'm speaking. You all are learned, highly learned in this philosophy. Is everything I'm saying correct according to our Prabhupada's teachings? Who has read Prabhupada's books here? Let's see a show of hands. Am I saying everything correct according to the books as far as what you have read? All right. See, I want to make sure that Maya hasn't stolen my mind away. I'm checked by my own audience, you see. Because the spiritual master, he cannot be, he's not independent. He is duty bound simply to repeat what is coming down from the previous acharyas. So I have to always watch myself. Make sure that I'm not just, that what is coming out of the mouth is parampara message of Krishna coming from Prabhupada. So, are there any more questions? No questions?
When I try and progress on my path of
comparing with others is very good. There's a saying, no man is an island. No woman is an island, you see. We are all, we are meant to be in a family of devotees. So we should always see what we can learn from seeing the qualities of other devotees. Devotees are a gold mine. The association of devotees is a gold mine because every devotee has nice qualities. Every devotee has nice qualities. Absolutely every otherwise they wouldn't be a devotee. So they may have qualities that I don't have, you see. So we should see every devotee and think, what wonderful qualities does this devotee have that I do not have? Every devotee practically is a worshipable deity. You see, they're representative of Krishna. So every devotee we should see, what wonderful quality. You may say, well, how can I do that? But you know what? Prabhupada said that even we can learn a lesson from the dog. You see? If I can learn a lesson from a dog, certainly you are all much more exalted than dogs. You see? Prabhupada said one can learn a lesson from the dog how to be faithful to the master. So you can even study a dog's psychology and learn from that dog. So what to speak of learning from the devotees? They are like gods, because they are representing Krishna. Demigods. The word demigod refers to the controllers of the universe. It also refers to devotees in general. They're called demigods. So certainly if we can learn a lesson from the dog, we can always see what wonderful qualities the devotees have that I can learn from. Now that doesn't mean if a devotee has a bad quality, I will learn from that. We have to discriminate. This is an important thing. The power of discrimination is there. Prabhupada says that every devotee has a combination of good qualities and bad qualities. But a Vaishnava is one who just sees the good in that person. He's not interested. He's like a honeybee. The fly, what does he go after? If there's some sower on your body, he'll go for the sower. So, we are meant to be like honeybees. If we are advancing nicely in this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we will be able to see what is the good quality and the bad quality in the other devotees. But we will want to appreciate their good side. We will want to always see the good side of them and appreciate that and encourage them in their good qualities and try to learn from those good qualities. If we can feel that I'm not a very advanced person by comparing ourselves with other devotees who are more advanced and feel I'm not very advanced. See, in the material world, the psychologist may say, well, that's not good. You'll get an inferiority complex if you do that. Isn't it? But actually, we encourage an inferiority complex. Because actually, one who, in Christ himself in the Bible, he says that blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you can feel yourself very, very lowly, on the basis of Krishna conscious knowledge, then you will become very highly elevated devotee of the Lord. Those who are most advanced in Krishna consciousness, they are the most humble. They can see their abominable nature the best. They have the best understanding of how wretched and abominable they are. Those are the most advanced devotees, actually. So we should not feel bad to feel that I'm an abominable wretch. The more we can actually feel how abominable I actually am, that then we become elevated in Krishna consciousness. But that doesn't mean we're, you know, oh, I'm an abominable wretch. No. Prabhupada said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me, you see. For ourselves, we feel very lowly and very unworthy of any mercy from anybody. We feel we only deserve to be kicked. But because we are acting on behalf of Krishna, we are acting on behalf of our spiritual master, we are acting on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, we understand we are acting on behalf of the greatest knowledge, the supreme person, because we are not acting on our own account. You see, we are acting for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of our spiritual master, for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. And because of that, we act like kings. You see? We can speak very authoritatively. We can act authoritatively. Just like yesterday in your class. I mean, I just spoke very authoritatively. Because we have nothing to be shy when we present this wisdom. When we present this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We are presenting that knowledge which will save the whole world from its suffering condition. So we are not shy when it comes to presenting this philosophy. If someone wants to glorify us, Prabhupada was not very eager to be glorified. It was his duty to accept worship as a spiritual master, but sometimes he would stop it. They were going, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, stop it, chant Hare Krishna. sometimes Prabhupada didn't want so much of Jai Prabhupada. You know, he would stop them in Vrindavan. Chant Hare Krishna. So, you know, it's not that the spiritual master does accept worship. That's his duty, to train the disciple how to glorify, you know, Krishna and Krishna's representative. But the spiritual master feels embarrassed and awkward, actually, being glorified. He feels, I'm just a dog. I'm just worthy of being kicked. You see, that's how the spiritual master actually feels. But in spite of that, he acts very boldly and very powerfully to give guidance and example to everyone how to become Krishna conscious. So anyway, it's good to compare. It's good to see how others are better than you so you can advance in Krishna consciousness. Questions more? Or is the question is prasadam? When is prasadam? What is it?
One stage, on one hand, you need to not be morose and be enthusiastic. On the other, you must be very humble. It must be quite a difficult balance.
Well, see, in the material world, we see that people who are humble are usually very depressed. And the people who are very puffed up are always, they appear to be very jolly. In the material world, that's how it is, you know. Some person is very aggressive, you know, pushing themselves forward in the mode of passion. They tend to be, you know, appear to be very jolly. They're smiling, laughing, boisterous, etc. In Krishna consciousness, it's just the opposite. Because in Krishna consciousness, we actually see that sort of, aggressive, boisterous mentality is actually a sort of fever. It's a facade. Inside the heart, they're actually suffering. But a person who is actually, as we quoted just momentarily, one who is always offering all respect to others without expecting any respect for themselves, they can remain immersed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. So it is a fact, it is difficult in the beginning. It is difficult in the beginning. Because it's a major transition from the material mentality. So how do you make that transition? That's why we require older advanced association. The persons who have already made that transition, we need to take shelter of them. That's very important. That's why we need a spiritual master. That's why we need the association of advanced devotees. Because these are people who've already made the transition, who've been able to put themselves in a humble state of mind and can function very ecstatically in that mood. And give very sound, decisive direction to those who are trying to advance themselves to that mood as well. The key is association will help bring you through that transition. And prayer is also very good. Praying to Krishna, praying to Guru, and to please help me make this transition to devotee, to transcendental existence, you see. Any more questions? So we will stop here. And thank you all very much. You've just been a wonderful group of people to be here tonight with. Certainly you've made my day today by your association. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.